Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon here on 11:16 SEN. Great to have Nick Del Santo in the studio talking a bit of NFL with him on the way through. And news just bobbed up a minute ago that Nick Foles is headed to free agency, the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback who took them that miraculous win last year with their starting quarterback injured. He's buying back his freedom for $2 million. So he's giving a $2 million option that was in front of him to stay as a backup quarterback to Carson Wentz. He is now headed to free agency. So somebody's clearly suggested to him that you turn your back on that contract situation that exists in front of you at Philadelphia, and there will be a job for you out there on the open market. So that's pretty big news over there in the world of American football. Brendan Joyce is about to join us. Nina Morrison a bit later on. Lawrence Tomlins from the Melbourne Victory. Of course, their keeper, Mel Jones, going to join us in the studio. I'm really keen to get to that chat later. In fact, I might talk to Joyce about it off the top about just how highly you regard off-field leadership, stability amongst the executive that run your footy team. We'll look at it through the prism, particularly of the Richmond Footy Club, with Peggy O'Neill and her board agreeing to stick around for another 3 years after her term was to expire at the end of 2019. How highly Richmond fans regard the dual performance of the president and the CEO, and how importantly you regard it at your team, perhaps how much you've lamented it at your club over the journey. We'll get to that a bit later on. 1-300-736-736. Any hoops you want to talk to Joyce about, now's the time to get on the line. And he does join us. He had something to say, but we're on air, Joyce. So if Sorry, it's going to be off the record, mate, you'll need to it was going to be about off-field stability and all that sort of stuff, wasn't it?
I love it. I love it. The Richmond Pig. I had a little bit of experience with it. That's why I thought we were off air. But
no, well, tell me, how highly should – if we've – a lot of people, I reckon, are just invested in their team. Like, we go on the weekly journey and we follow the performance of our team. And as far as most of us are concerned, and I speak, you know, for the us being the, you know, the – pejorative term, it's on the players. But I have this view that the longer and older I've been in the game, that you can't be successful on if you're not off. The two can't coexist. For it might be a fluke here and
it's
there.
It's really difficult. Mm. It really is difficult. And I reflect on a championship year, and the owner was awesome. He was awesome for 7 years.
Yep.
And certainly gave me the autonomy to do what I felt we needed to do to build the program, and he was just supportive. He wasn't interfering, which is very difficult for owners and boards and stuff like that. And I had a great general manager who was an ex-player, and we were teammates in Chuck Harmison. So there was no there was a big reason. We were united totally across the board, and I reflect on the Tigers, 2017 champions, right? 2016, I remember I was asked to attend the Richmond President's Club because someone pulled out a couple of days before as a speaker, and a friend of mine asked me to attend, and it was really interesting to go. It was pretty quiet because I'd been to Collingwood's before, they were having that bad season, and one of the questions I was asked, they just come straight out, should we keep the coach? And I said, look, they've got to the finals, and sometimes one bad year, one step back, two steps forward. And I remember saying, yes, they should keep the coach, and just in answer to that question. But I just remember, I'm going to be honest here, I'm an outsider, but I've been asked this, and it was great, because I love me footy. Yeah. And I grew up in Richmond as a kid, so I used to go and watch Royce Hart play during the, or Collingwood home games, or Richmond or Melbourne. So, a lot of history there, but I was really, there was a lot of tension. You could feel it. And I sat beside Peggy and Benny Gale, right? And you could just feel it. They were under the pump. Like, this is, I think it was June before I went off the Olympics in August, and you could just feel the tension. I was sitting with them, and they were so positive. So I was wrapped, absolutely wrapped, to see them get through that and have the success, because they are quality people, mate. You could tell.
I agree.
The conversation.
I totally agree with you. So holding your course at a time like that, when you've gone down a track, as I had with Damien, and it had been, as you said, 3 years in the finals, then a step backwards, and you have all these doubts, and the walls feel like they're closing in, and there are people saying you've got to make a move, and it hasn't worked, it's failed, you've got to go another direction. Holding your course at that particular time, it must take great intelligence, a bit of intuition, but unbelievable courage, I reckon. Because if you get it wrong then, if you have gone down the wrong road and backed the wrong horse,
yep.
and you stick with it for an extra 2 or 3 years, then who knows what sort of damage you're going to do.
Well, they backed Damien, and he'd been there a few years. And as you just said, he'd been to the finals. And that's you know my thought process. He's been to the finals and missed the finals. And there's all various reasons why you miss the finals sometimes. It's injuries, and that comes into play. But no one wants to know about that. But they knew what Damien was about. And I know Damien as well. And I still recall him meeting with him because his kids played basketball. And meeting with him before the season, and it was a challenging time for him and tough. And being a past coach, we have a bit of a conversation about it. I still remember saying, mate, you know what you're doing. Just stick with that. And, you know, not that he's listening to my advice, but from
I'm
one
sure
coach
he takes
to another.
On. Yeah, absolutely.
And I can't remember what else I said, but you got to, I can't repeat it on air.
You got so you can remember.
It was a legit conversation, mate. Put all that aside. You're been a high-level player. You've had 3 years. You know what you're doing. So try not to get distracted and stay on track with what you got to do. But also, you know, obviously you're having an internal evaluation of having the right people around you.
Yeah.
That's pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was along the lines of that conversation. I'm not saying I had any impact. But, you know, knowing him a little bit, I'm a Collingwood supporter, mate, but I was Rap Richmond one because I knew, you know, what was going on behind the scenes.
Well, Joyce, look at your footy club. You're talking about stability.
It's another example, a year later.
You know,
your
stability at the top. Eddie's come in, you know, at the turn of the century. You know, the wheels are shaking.
Well, how
the
lucky is Bucks to have someone like Eddie? I'm telling you now,
amazing,
if he didn't have Eddie,
mate.
He wouldn't have been coaching.
It's incredible. And you they've
know,
been relatively stable from an executive perspective as well. They've had people stay the course at the footy club for long periods of time. There hasn't been chopping and changing. And, you know, there's been many, many calls on occasions from people saying Maguire's been there too long, they need a fresh voice. There have been other individuals bowled up as potential, you know, chairman slash presidents to take over from him. But here they are, they're coming again. They're coming again.
Well, I've been around long enough to know stability is key, and those people are saying Ed's been there too long. I don't care if it's 15, 20 years. I know it's probably 20 years. Hey, the club was on its knees. It was broke.
Mm.
If Ed McGuire doesn't get involved, like what happens?
It's a very good question.
And you know, Collingwood prides itself too on there is a loyalty factor there. I think we probably had the least amount of coaches.
Yep.
You know, in respect to so it's a big when they talk about changing coaches, it's a thorough investigation because their coaches are usually long term.
So in the basketball, to take it from the footy to the basketball. They're no longer part of the National Basketball League, the Melbourne Tigers. But the Lindsay Gaze stewardship and the Gaze family, the stability that came with Lindsay at the helm, the son, you know, as the player,
yep.
How pivotal do you think from outside that camp looking in as an opponent of theirs, how pivotal do you reckon that was in terms of the building of this, you know, what was for many, many decades a phenomenal brand?
Well,
phenomenal club.
They're the originals, and it disappoints me they're not around. Mm. You know, and they were the enemy. You know, I'm a Spectre and a Saint.
Everybody
you know,
hated them.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, there's respect,
mm.
you know, there for what they've achieved and what they've done. You know, Ken Watson before Lindsay, you know, the Melbourne Tigers, we're talking about the 40s or like when it originally,
yeah.
I know a bit, you know, a fair bit of the history. Is
I keep hearing about,
in the game.
I don't know Ken Watson, but if SEN had been around 40 or 50 years ago, it would have been nice to know. You hear people talk about Ken Watson in tones of absolute reverence.
And his son's played, you know, I think it's wonderful that, you know, their kids come through and they play as well. If they're not good enough, they don't play.
Mm.
And sometimes you get the, you know, and I've had it, they get an easy go. But let me tell you that most people push their kids, or not necessarily push their kids, you know, they know how tough it is to get to a higher level. So you don't make it easy for your kid. You're working pretty hard in respect to. So Ken Watson coached his kids. Lindsay coached his kid. Maybe Andrew will coach his kid one day. But the history of the Melbourne Tigers, I hope they're going to come back. I really believe that they're going to come
you
back.
You do believe that?
I do believe.
I mean, I'm not asking you to pick a fight with Larry Kesselman or anyone here, but while Larry's at the helm and has the stake in the league that he does, is it possible you think the Melbourne Tigers could ever come back into the NBL?
You know, Larry's and Vince, they've tried to embrace all of us. You know, I'm a a legend of the Melbourne United, right? And respectful and appreciated. But the Melbourne Tigers stood for so long, and with Lindsay and Andrew and the brand and the existence right now, they still exist, you know, at the next level down, and the kids play. So if someone was to buy a license and, you know, support those guys, and that's what makes me think the fact that they still have the brand, it's still a fairly strong brand in respect to Lindsay and Andrew as well, still being well known, that I wouldn't be surprised if it's awake and at some stage re-established again.
So here we go. We're going off on tangents.
I think you're going to have three teams in Melbourne. There used to be four in Geelong as the league grows. And I think with the, you know, Andrew and Lindsay's profile, I think there's a, and if they were involved again, I know Andrew's up in Sydney and doing great things, but, you know, this is his hometown. And basketball's in Victoria or in Melbourne. It's huge. So there's room there for at least three teams.
Joycey, in America, we've been talking a bit about American football this week, obviously, with our mighty Patriots prevailing again. But in New York, they have the new, in the NFL, they have the New York Giants and the New York Jets. Is it inconceivable that in a league like the National Basketball League, we could have two teams called Melbourne, Melbourne United, Melbourne Tigers? That's not an issue for the league, is it?
No, especially South, you know, the Southeast Phoenix, being involved. I think it's more about, you know, having support, and they've already got the support base still. They just need someone to buy a license, realistically. And Lindsay and Andrew have still got their foot in that. You know, it's, and there's room for three teams. Like, I don't think there's room for four, but I think there's room for three.
Do you reckon there's something, and this is, do you reckon there's something in the heart and soul clubs? You're talking about Melbourne United is a construct. Melbourne Tigers are not. People want Tasmania to come into the AFL. They're a proper footy state.
Yep.
But we've gone to the Gold Coast Suns and we've planted a team in the west of Sydney. Those, I'm not asking you to have. But do you reckon there's something that comes with when you put a team where there's already been a foundation laid, that you automatically get something a bit more special? It's already there. There's already...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People are passionate about their team already. You know, how many great footballers have come out of Tassie? I've got a huge footy history. And, you know, how many kids are playing out of Tassie right now? Mm. You know, the Rewilds, right, eventually come from Tassie. So the talent level's there, but I'm not, you know, I hear stories that it's dwindling a bit the past few years. But, look, I'm a believer, if you want to call your competition a national competition, I believe every state should be represented. That's the ideal set. Mm. And I think we lost something with Hobart not being a part of the NBL. Now there's talk that they will be back, and I believe they will be back, whether it be next year or the year after. I wonder why we haven't basketball hasn't capitalised on it, because basketball doesn't need as much money to fund an NBL team, say, as an AFL team. But what you're saying is, I agree, like there's always been a passion for AFL in Tassie. There's a following, you know, it's, but at the same time, I see what the AFL is doing. They want to expand and strengthen their competition in areas that aren't truly
new markets.
Like,
new
Queensland, New South Wales. And so I understand that as well. You know, I think it'll work. It's just going to take a long time.
I didn't know about the – are there conversations in place about getting another team in the NBL out of Hobart?
Hobart themselves, they've got an ownership group. So they've decided to actually play – I don't know what the reasons are. They're not being allowed to play in the NBL or granted a license at this point in time. So they're going to play in New Zealand. They're going to play in the New Zealand League next year, and they're also going to play, it's not the Seabull, but the Victorian Elite. So they've got two teams. So I see that definitely as a stepping stone towards the NBL. But Larry could probably answer that question, why he's probably not accepting of Hobart's license right now. Because I think the other point is he wants to be careful, because, you know, you don't want teams coming in and folding. So I think the due diligence in allowing someone to come in the league is pretty important, because the league's growing. And it's got a positive perception again. So the last thing you do, so it has got to be slow. Southeast now, and I got no doubt there'll be a Hobart team or somebody else, you know, and at least to grow to at least 12 teams.
Yeah, okay. Look, there's a league that's going on at the moment. It's getting to the very pointy end of the regular season, which we need to talk about some of the results from the weekend and what they all mean and where they all sit. We'll do that with you on the other side of this. Brendan Joyce in the studio. Often we end up talking about things we had no idea we were going to talk about. I like it. More of that after this.
For Robot Building Supplies, supply and deliver all the products you need to get the job done right.
Afternoons with Andy Marr on SEN.
Brendan Joyce in the studio talking all things sport and life and the National Basketball League. Joycey, the last 4 or 5 weeks have been, they've been fascinating. And they really have. There's been potential fluctuations all over the place. Big questions being asked of individual clubs on the way through. Is it, in terms of what you've seen from the top three, United, Perth and Sydney, have they clearly answered the various critics that have been, you know, coming at them in the last month and a half?
Well, if you go back 2 weeks ago, we were talking about if Melbourne United dropped that game to the Illawarra Hawks, they could miss out in the top four.
Spot on.
So they've won three in a row. Then the Kings dropped three in a row. Everyone was talking about them being a championship.
Gaze was going to get sacked.
And Andrew, yeah, Drew, that's ridiculous. Anyway, so I was glad to see them win on the weekend. And then the Perth Wildcats dropped 5 or 6, so everyone was calling. So those three, I think we spoke about this the other week, that sometimes good teams, if you've got enough in the bank, there's always going to be a little rough period. And that rough period sometimes, if it comes at the end of the year, as long as it's not your last couple of games, but it's a few games out, it really makes you assess things, you know, so much more. And you can find your own weaknesses because of those losses and strengthen your play. And it's great preparation going to the finals. Sometimes it's not good to go in on, into the finals on a 6-game streak.
No.
And nothing, you know, it doesn't hurt to lose every now and then. That might sound crazy, but you do evaluate harder when you lose than what you do when you win. I don't care what they say. Mm. So now those three, but all one, you know, consecutive games, and now they're comfortable. The fourth spot's huge, isn't it? There's fluctuation with Adelaide. Everyone expecting Adelaide, including me, to make the finals, but they've had their time where they're inconsistent, and now Brisbane have dropped a couple the last weekend, and so sitting fifth. Illawarra's won their last three, you know, so they're throwing a challenge out, and they don't have a bad run, my old team, but they're coming up against Brisbane in Brisbane. You expect Brisbane to get that, but if they don't, Illawarra can throw a spanner in the works here.
So the top three are entrenched. Yep. How, where they, what order they occupy will work itself out. Of the next three, if you had to stake something in the ground right now and say this is the one that will clinch the final spot in the playoffs, is it? It's clearly Adelaide's to lose because they're in at the moment. But
yep.
Have you got a lean given the schedule, the remaining schedule, and it's 3 or 4 games depending on which team we're talking about? Have you got a strong lean one way or the other?
Yeah, I feel Adelaide's the most talented, and I said this a few weeks ago, expecting to make it. But you look at the next 2 games for Brisbane. You know, they play Illawarra at home and Cairns away, so there's 2 gettable wins. Now Adelaide play Melbourne United. Look, they've got New Zealand in New Zealand, which won't be easy, but New Zealand, they aren't playing well together. Mm. So I expect Adelaide 36ers to get that. And then they've got Melbourne United at home. I think that's the big one for them. If they get that, they can make it. But if they drop that, Brisbane's going to be in. And they've found it tough this year, you know, playing against Melbourne United. You know, it was only a couple of weeks ago Melbourne United had them. So
what have you seen in them? What have you seen in United? They had to work hard to get their most recent win in over time. What have you seen in them in the last four? They're on a 4-game win streak now. What have you seen in them that you particularly liked, if there is something that you particularly liked?
Yeah, well, the guy I've always felt that's going to be a difference maker is DJ Kennedy. Mm. And he's played probably up to his potential the last few games. And I gave him the MVP. And he's sort of a quiet achiever. He seems to be a pretty quiet guy. He doesn't. And sometimes those, I won't say, I don't know whether he's a little bit of an introvert. Introverts need to be told, hey, in my experience coaching, hey, you're pretty good.
Mm.
Go out and do this and go out and do that. Whereas an extrovert will say, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
is what I can do. And I'll do it. So just meeting him, but he's such a talent. And, you know, I was just interested in speaking with him. But I think he knows now that nobody can guard him in the past few weeks. So I think that's a huge tick for Melbourne United going to play. He knows he's either going to be too quick for his opponent or too big, and because he's a versatile player that creates mismatch, what we call mismatches, and I think he's key. Every team's got their weakness. I still think Melbourne United rely on Casper playing 38 minutes a game.
Right, huh?
And when you get into a 3-game series within a week or a 5-game series within 10, 12 days, that can be a factor. He has to have some sort of rest, or when he's off the court, somebody has to step up. Now they've been going with Mitch McCarron in that spot, but Mitch has been great, but he's not really a point guard. But you know, Casper at the same time, he's delivering. So maybe they don't need it. But I still worry, being a coach, that you don't have the depth there to support him.
So, Joycey, has Sydney, when Sydney get Bogut dominant and they get Randall and Lish playing the way they did the other night, is their top end still the best top end group in the NBL?
I think the key to them is in that same spot is Brad Newley. He's been consistent.
Right.
And if you look, when he plays well, they win. Now, all the other boys have been pretty consistent and reliable. Brad needs to be reliable. He's got the ability, but Bogues, you know, there's a strong relationship between those guys. Mm. They know each other pretty well. You know, I'd expect him to step up come playoffs, but, you know, they've gone and each team's bolstered themselves with someone, you know, obviously it's Venky Joyce, his name is. He hasn't played a lot, but Melbourne United have seen a weakness there that they felt they needed the strength to have a backup for Barlow. So the same with Sydney Kings, but... You know, I guess it's a lack of experience in playing together in big games for the Kings that's questionable.
Have you been watching what's been going on over in America? Have you been keeping an eye on all of that? Some of the potential player movement?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you stick around for a couple of minutes after that? We've just got to get the news headlines.
No worries.
And we'll just take ourselves across the pond and talk about some of the goings on over in the NBA with you on the other side of this.
Don't forget our WNBL Green
Finals. Oh, God, we've got to mention that as well. We'll do that after the latest news headline. Some towns not too far away from Melbourne. It's through Hepburn on the weekend. To everybody up there, our thoughts are with you. There's enough other stuff going on down in Tassie and up in northern Queensland at the moment. This is a country that's been hard hit by some elemental issues at the moment, Joycey. We could do with some rain. No question about that.
Sorry, we're talking about weather. There's some big things happening in sport.
Mate, there's storms all over the place over in the NBA. How big a roll of the dice is it? A team like the New York Knicks, they get this guy. And I'm not, by no means am I a hardcore NBA fan, but I know enough to know that they love this Porzingis.
Christian.
Yeah.
It's with a K.
Yeah. They love him. The fans love him.
They didn't like him at first, remember? They booed.
Yep, but they've grown a lot. And now they punt him to Dallas.
Yeah.
It's a salary cap purge. Clearly they've got some massive...
$72 million, I think, they've got to spend.
So what are you reading? What are they doing?
They know more than us. Something's up. I can't believe that they would trade him unless they knew they were going to get something. I really do. Because Porzingis, you know, he's the next Dirk Nowitzki, you know, from a European point of view. And obviously Dirk Nowitzki was unbelievable for the Dallas Mavericks, and you know, in his 20th year, and they see him, and there's no question he is very similar, maybe come better, and so you know they've got him now, and they're looking to build. So it could be, you know, it's an interesting trade.
Kyrie,
isn't it?
KD,
that's the talk,
and Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Now, unless you follow your college, no, high school basketball. Is he high school or is he college?
He's at college. He'll be one and done. He's Duke. I watched him play a little bit before I come in here. I've never seen...
Careful. Careful when you say this,
yeah,
right?
I've never seen an athlete like him. Is that okay?
You can
I've
say
never
that.
Seen an athlete like him.
So tell me
he's
about
him. About 6'7", and his vertical is ridiculous. It's 40 plus. I can't remember. It's 44 or 48. I've never seen... And he looks like 6'7", and he looks like a gridiron player, like an American footballer. But he's coordinated. He can shoot the ball. He runs like a deer. That's what I mean. Usually when somebody's that big and wide for that height, usually a bit awkward, there's something missing. But his skills, his passing, his dribbling, his shoot, and he's, you know, just an incredible athlete.
So he's LeBron, a young LeBron who can shoot.
Yeah, number one pick for sure.
Geez.
And will dominate and have an instant impact in the NBA because he's just so powerful.
And they've got the first pick, right? New York's got the first. They got the first pick
in
the draft.
I'm not 100% sure.
No,
he's
got that.
But they're trying to obviously get picks, which they have obtained from Dallas. But you know, it all depends where Dallas finishes as well. But the number one pick. I don't know if I'm whoever I am, I'm not giving that up.
Right, with this kid coming by the sounds of it.
But they might trade their two number one picks for the one pick. You just don't know what goes on.
And is it a guarantee, speaking of the big market teams, is it an absolute given that Anthony Davis will end up alongside LeBron over at the Lakers? Is that, again, I don't follow enough of this sort of stuff, but is that where he's headed?
Well, there's talk that definitely the Lakers, but now they're saying the Lakers are, It pulled out of talks, trade talks.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's only just coming through now.
Is there a chance he can get to the Boston Celtics? Is there any chance we can get him in green next year?
I remember when I was visiting Brett when he was at San Antonio, I think it was 2012 or 13, he goes, who do you think's the best draft pick coming out? Mate, that's the easiest question ever. I said, that kid out of Kentucky. He goes, oh, that's not a bad choice. It was Anthony Davis back then, you know.
So he's that good, right?
Oh.
Yeah, he's like top three players in the NBA.
Yeah, he can do everything. Yeah, he's right 7 foot. Again, these guys are amazing. They run like gazelles, you know, as well. Except once upon a time, a 7 footer was a plotter, right? Like
a
draft horse delivering the ice back in the early 50s. Oh, Ali, just remember that, I think. But anyway.
Well, watch his face. It's all happening over there. It's hard to believe there's that many good. One of the odd things is that there are so many good players who are, you know, marquee players at their team, franchise type players, who seem to want to get out of there, unhappy at their club, or their club wants to purge them because they've got something better or something different they want to bring in. It does seem like a really volatile marketplace for real top-end talent over in the National Basketball Association. Oh,
it's unbelievable. And New York need to do something that's been a long time since they were successful. But if they get those guys, like you're saying, Kyrie Irving and Durant, the success will be there.
So last but certainly not least, we've got the WNBL Grand Final, Canberra v Adelaide. Remarkable story, Joycey, with Adelaide's future coming in up in the air. In fact, a lot of people going into the season were of firm view that this would be the last year for them in the competition. That has to change, doesn't it, irrespective of the outcome of this Grand Final
absolutely.
Series?
Absolutely. I think when the talk was occurring, they were about 7th or 8th on the ladder, and they were struggling, and all of a sudden they started to win games. And now they've got themselves to the grand final. So I'd expect Adelaide's, you know, they love their footy, they love their basketball, and they're really intelligent people as far as, you know, basketball spectators because they've had teams in the NBL the whole time as well. I'd expect somebody to step up and support the Adelaide Lightning. They've been a great franchise. They've won numerous WNBL titles. So I think it's fantastic they've made the grand final because that's going to help as well in entice somebody to support them. And I'll be surprised, mate, if they're not in the WNBL. But I am tipping Canberra Capitals to win the championship.
It's a pretty strong.
You never know.
It's a pretty strong club, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty strong lineup. Mariano Tolo's there. You know, Leilani Mitchell, our Olympic point guard. They're all healthy right now. Mm. And Paul Gorris, the coach, you know, who's at my center of excellence coach, it's taken him a couple of years to get there. But I think they're looking pretty good. And then Kelly Wilson, Bendigo, I don't know how many she must have won about five championships now. Good experience there.
You better go. Your car's on the meter. We don't want you getting a ticket. We don't pay you enough to cover. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Good on you, Brendan Joyce. Always great to have him in the studio and on the show. SEN Afternoons, a robot building supplies. Robots got it. Nina Morrison, what a star this young lady is. Part of the Geelong AFLW setup. They've got a win on the board and looking forward to round two. She's going to join us for a chat after this.